We're so thankful to be here today. We're so thankful for your many blessings. And Father, I pray that you'd lift each and every one of us up this morning. Any that just has a heavy heart this morning, that you'd encourage, that you'd strengthen us. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in here. In each and every heart, each and every mind. May we hear from you this morning, Lord Jesus. Be with us now. Amen. So, title of the message today is Little as Much. And I was, I hope this all makes sense. When the way I'm going to start off with the verses, you might be like, little as much. But I want to start with James chapter 4, verse 6. And he says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I was thinking about how many of us are reluctant to do something because of pride. How many of us are scared that we will be embarrassed, scared that someone might make fun of us, scared that we might appear that we don't know what we're talking about. And so pride keeps us from doing things, whether it's at work, whether it's talking to a stranger, whether it's preaching a sermon, sharing your testimony. Oftentimes it's pride that keeps us from being able to do that. Scared that we'll be embarrassed or someone will make fun of us. But God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when I was thinking about that, to be humble, you look up the definition, and it's kind of a lengthy definition, but low degree, lowly in spirit is kind of where it ends, talking about to be humble. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking it's to realize your need for grace. And what's grace? The divine influence upon your life. So it's the realization of understanding that I need God's grace upon my heart, upon my life, that I can't do it by myself. There's no way I can stand up here by myself and do this. It has to be grace. It has to be that divine influence of the Lord Jesus Christ on my life is the only way that I'm able to stand up here. And I think I can share this story because I don't think the person that told me this will ever see this sermon, or I hope that someday he'll be here. But there was someone that I was talking to about coming to church, and they said, I'm just too embarrassed to come to church. And, you know, my thought is he's talking about his clothes or something like that, because, you know, we've had people before talk about, you know, they don't have church clothes, so to speak. And I always encourage them, come anyway. Come anyway. But what he said was that he couldn't read. He said, I can't read, and it just is embarrassing to me that I can't read and to come to church. And I told him, I said, man, I mess up a lot. I mispronounce words. Sometimes I have to listen to the audio Bible 3 or 4 times, and then I still mess up when I get up here. You know, it's okay. It's okay. But see, sometimes pride keeps us from doing things, and we need to humble ourselves and allow God's grace to really take hold of us, to understand that without God I can do nothing, and to really recognize that the proud man says it is by my ability and my might. But we are to humble ourselves. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I like it a whole lot better, the thought of God lifting me up rather than me doing it on my own. Just like moving that refrigerator this week, I like the thought a whole lot better of Casey there doing all the lifting than me. You know, I didn't like the thought of me doing it. And you know what? I waited till Casey could help, and we did it. And Casey did most all the lifting, and it was really nice. You think about that with our Lord. when we humble ourselves, it says He will lift us up. It's not by my might, my strength. It's God lifting me up. Does anybody need lifting up today? I mean, really? I need some lifting up today. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a rough couple weeks again. And you know, my heart's aching this morning. And I need to be lifted up. And y'all, for me to recognize, God, that I need You. And You're my strength. You're my help. I keep thinking about all God can do with you and me if we would just humble ourselves and give God our everything. Quit holding back. Quit holding back and saying, well, this I think I can handle on my own, or this I know I'm no good at. So why would I give that to God? I want to give God my very best, and you do want to give God your very best, but our very best is not even sufficient. When you look at the might and power of God, that if we would just let Him have control. You may say, well, I just don't have much to give, but little is much when God's in it. And that's where the title of the message comes from. Little is much when God's in it. And to let God have control. And now I want you to open up to John chapter 6, verse 5. And I don't know how many of you have been out watching the meteor showers this week, and we've sat out in the yard two or three different times trying to watch the shooting stars, and this passage here is something that as I've been sitting out there thinking, I had many things come to my mind about this passage that we're about to read, and I don't think I can convey them all in our short time, but I hope I can share some. John 6:5, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Him, for already had in mind what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. That's lacking, isn't it? That's saying, I don't have enough. When 8 months' wages wouldn't even buy enough for a person to have one bite of bread, that's saying, we are insufficient funds right here. It's impossible. Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? I want you to think about that he even spoke that. Like, to me, that would say, you know, there's 5,000 men, and most of the commentators and everybody on this said that if there's 5,000 men, you're probably looking at 20,000 people by the time you add in the wives and the children. So there's 20,000 people, and Andrew speaks up and says, here's 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. I mean, would you even think about that? You know, I wouldn't even think, okay, well, I've got this here, but... Y'all, and isn't that many of us with our lives? I can't do this. I don't have enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough ability. Why am I even considering speaking up at this moment? I can't do it. And for many of us, that's where we stay at. With the, I can't. I don't have enough. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I want y'all to think about that. This is where I've been really thinking as I've been sitting out looking at the stars praying. Why did Jesus have them gather up the leftovers? Have you ever thought about that? Why would He have them gather up the leftovers? Why not just let them keep it? Why would he have them gather up the leftovers? And I don't know if I have an answer for that. Maybe it was to show the bounty that he had just given them, that there was so much left that they filled up 12 more baskets. But he says, let nothing be wasted. Y'all, do we realize how many of us are wasting our lives? Jesus says, let nothing be wasted. Even my insignificant abilities. What you see is, well, I can't do much. I can't do much. I'm this. I can't read. I can't speak. I'm too bashful. I'm too shy. I can't even clap my hands in rhythm. We used to clap around here. And then I became the preacher and we quit clapping. Why? Because I can't even clap in rhythm. I have to watch Mitzi and she'd do this. And that's how I kept time. And then I'd be all off. What's going on? Why do we not trust that God can take our little bit and do extraordinary things? Little as much when God is in it. Little as much when we give it all to God. And I want you to think about that boy being willing to give. Because see what would happen, and this is just my mind, okay? This morning, if you know, there's not even many of us here, and if everybody's starving, and I had one piece of beef jerky, I'd say that couldn't reach all of us. One little piece of beef jerky. So what would I probably do? Well, I'm hungry and I know my family's hungry. I'm going to keep it in my pocket and later we'll split it between me and my family. And the rest of y'all can just be hungry. Y'all say, that's a terrible thought. Eat, that's terrible. But I don't have enough to feed everybody, so why would I not just take care of what I know I could? See, that's the attitude that boy could have had. Here I've got two fish and these few loaves of bread, but there's 20,000 people here. I want to make sure I get fed. Fooey on them for not having any food with them. I'm keeping what I've got because I don't want to do without. You got to say, that's a terrible thought, Pete, but how many of us are that way with our abilities, with our time? I don't have enough time to meet everybody's needs. I don't have enough ability to take care of someone else. So I'm just going to make sure me and my family's taken care of. He gave. He was willing. And I've emphasized this before as I've preached about it before, but it's when Jesus gave thanks that the increase came. When Jesus gave thanks, the increase came. Y'all, if you're lacking in something today, you need to humble yourself before God. Allow Him to lift you up. But begin to give God thanks for what He has given you. Begin to give God thanks for... We want to see the church grow. Why don't we begin to take care of who's here and give thanks for them instead of looking for someone else? Begin to understand that we're all going through struggles. We're all going through trials. We're all going through things. And we need to begin to give thanks for the person sitting next to you in the pew, the person that's in this building, and allow God to begin to work. We need to begin to trust God that He can use what we have to help the body, to help each other, to humble ourselves, to be willing to give all that we have and allow God to work. And watch and see if it would not change this church, this community. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll begin around verse 4. First Corinthians 12:4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You guys hear what that says? Each one, that's you this morning, each one of us, we've been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's for you and that's for me. our abilities to use for each other, for the common good of the body. It's not to grab my loaves and fish and hide them away so that no one else can eat, so that no one else can share. It's for the common good of giving to each other. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So you know what? You have an ability that I might not have. Now, do I look down on you because you're not up here preaching? No. Do I look down on you because you're not up here leading worship? No. Because what you have is unique to how God made you. But it's for the common good. It's for, just because you're not up here preaching or singing or playing an instrument doesn't mean that you're still not instrumental in this church, in this body of believers. But how many of us are holding back and we're not giving the gifts that God has given us for the edification of the body? Verse 12 says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. You know what I see happens a lot of times is there's jealousy in the body. And because this person's getting the recognition, this person's getting the praise. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very, very hard for me when you guys honor me the way that you've done this month, because I know that it's the body working. It's not Pete. It's the body working. And I know that without all of you being here, it's all of us. And it's very humbling, and it's very hard to accept, you know, Pastor Appreciation Month and all that. But it's like, it's all of us working together that does this, that sees this body function. And so when you honor me and my family, it's like I just want to hang my head in embarrassment sometimes, like, because I know it's all of you working alongside of me. In church, that's the way it should be. It says now, verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Church, you understand how important it is that we function as a body? Have you ever, like, I love it when this happens, when you're missing something. When you think you've got something figured out and someone else suggests something, someone else says something, and all at once you're like, I never thought of it that way. And it's like a light comes on and it's like, wow, that will work even better. That's an even better idea. Does that ever happen to y'all? It happens to me sometimes. I mean, I do think I know everything, but once in a while it's nice to have some suggestions, you know. But that's the way it should be with a body. And if we were all an eye, we would see everything the same way. But because God has created us so differently, we're coming at it from different views, from different perspectives. Sometimes I'll say something and I mean it one way, but someone's interpreted it the other way. And my wife will remind me, you better be careful the way you said that, because I know the way you meant it, but they might not know the way that you meant it. And we need reminded of that because we know that we're different and we're seeing things from different point of views in the same way that we function. There's some of you that have a gift of giving. And you might recognize this person needs help. That person needs help. There's some of you that have a gift of like a type of mercy and compassion where you're just like, this person needs prayer. This person needs to be lifted up. And all of us need to see that. All of us need to recognize that. But we don't always all see it. And we don't always all recognize it because some of us are sitting back, not participating. Any of you ever... The older I get, the more I'm seeing it. My body, when I first get up, all of my parts of my body don't want to participate. And now, sometimes when I get up, I have to walk along the side of the bed till this ankle starts working, because I've got a bad ankle here. And after it gets working, after it realizes I've got a job to do, I'm good. But the first thing in the morning, sometimes my hand has to help with that ankle till the ankle decides that it wants to participate. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about, okay? Other parts are compensating till that part says, oh yeah, I got a job to do. Little as much when God's in it. Oh yeah, I got a job to do. All of us, we got a job to do. In the body of Christ, we've got a job to do. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment... That's me. I'm the one up here, you know, I get the handshakes, I get good sermon, I get the pat on the back. And I appreciate it very much. I do. It overflows my heart with joy the way y'all treat me. But you know what? Sometimes the person cleaning the building needs to be told, it sure is nice to come into this building and it smells so good and there's no trash. Sometimes the person that's mowing and weed eating needs to be there a hug and say, you know how good our lawn looks when you're taking care of it? I sure do appreciate it. Sometimes the person that's down teaching the kids or sitting in a nursery and missing out on what's going on up here needs to just be told, thank you. Do you know how much we appreciate all that you're doing? Sometimes the person that we know is the faithful prayer warrior that's been praying for all of us and they don't get any recognition. They don't get to stand up here. They don't get everybody saying, wow, you're so good. You just need to tell them we love you and we appreciate what you're doing for us. Is this making sense this morning, church? And you need to be participating if you're not. Verse 25. Well, actually, I left off in the middle of 24. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, that's hard. That's really hard, the part that suffers, to suffer with them. Our camera quit working, didn't it, Malin? Okay. I can speak a little more freely. I got a text late last night from Sharon and Tom, and Sharon's not doing good at all. She's having trouble even walking now. Most of us don't, we're just going to be honest, most of us don't think about Tom and Sharon. But they ache and they hurt that they can't be here, you know. Dolores and Richard hasn't been able to be here since the whole pandemic started, you know. She's had heart problems and issues and her husband doesn't want her coming. She's honoring her husband and not coming. Are you still praying for her and Richard? Are you still lifting them up? You know, think about how it was when we weren't meeting together. And it was hard. It was hard on me. And some people still not meeting together. Some people still not getting out. Are we lifting them up? Are we praying for them? Rejoice with those that rejoice. Y'all, when we are successful and we see things happening and we see the body of Christ working, do we get excited or do we get jealous? Why does Mitzi get to sit up here and sing every Sunday? I want to sing once in a while. I've got a good voice. Why does Pete get to get all the dinner and special cheesecake, and it's got to be Mexican because that's his favorite? I don't even like Mexican. But when you honor me, it's really a reflection of you guys and this body working together. And that's why it's very humbling, you know. It can go both ways. Hurt with those that are hurting, rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Those both can be very hard things because jealousy tries to well up for the rejoicing, and just forgetfulness for those that are hurting, you know. But church, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first all the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Y'all, I can't look and judge you because you don't do the same as me. Sometimes it's hard when you see, and I'm not just talking about church, but you think things ought to be done a certain way at work, at home, or whatever. And when someone else has a different idea, sometimes it's hard because you think your idea is the best. And we can do that with church too. I might think everybody should be a Sunday school teacher. Everybody should be able to preach. Everybody should be doing this. But that's not the way the body works. But church, I'm telling you, this morning, God has a job, God has a purpose, God has a plan for you, and we need to begin to humble ourselves once again and say, God, use me. Even in my weak areas, even in my inabilities, even when I seem like, God, I just have a little bit to offer. A few fish, a few loaves of bread. But God, I thank you for the few fish and few loaves of bread I have. God, I thank you for my mind. I thank you for my ability. I thank you for my talent, whatever it is. And begin to get plugged in and say, God, use me. Use me. And let's not hang on so tightly to what we have if we just have a little bit. Let's not hang on. Because that little boy could have hung on. He could have hit it. God would have, I'm sure, found another way to feed him. But he would have missed out on his blessing. You know, sometimes we hold on so tightly and we're missing out on what God wants to do with us, what God wants to do with the church. Have you ever thought, I don't have an abundance because I haven't thanked God for what I do have? I'm always looking at whatever everybody else has. And maybe we need to just begin to humble ourselves and thank God for what he has given us. And then allow him to work. Allow him to do the increase in our lives. Let's begin to thank God, humble ourselves, allow God to use us in the body. Remember all that he's done for us. And we're going to end with Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Some of you, you may have started off working strong, working hard. And you hit some bumps in the road and all at once you're down here and you're going, I don't feel like I'm serving God at all. Some of you, maybe you've served him so long and you're worn out and you're tired and you say, I just feel like I tell the same old stories. I've got nothing left to give. Be confident in this. God who began a good work in you is going to complete it. when we humble ourselves, when we give Him all that we are, allow Him to work, little as much when God's in it. And I want to challenge you this morning, if you say, Pete, I'm willing, I just don't know where. I just don't know how. You know, sometimes you may see something lacking in our church. You may say, man, we really need this. That might be your calling. That might be where God's placing you. You ever thought about that? Where you see something's lacking, where you see we're missing out on something? That might be, you're the eye for that. Where I've got a blind spot. You're the eye for that, that you're seeing, we need this. That might be where God's calling you. It might be an area that you say, I've never done anything like that before. I don't know if I can. I'm scared. I don't want to do it. Little as much when God's in it. Humble yourself. Don't give up, though. I don't like the way my ankle treats me in the morning. But thank God, as I get moving, it starts working right. I can make it through the day. But if you pull back and you're not using your abilities, you're not using your gifts, the body's hurting and the body's lacking. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today, and I pray that You would encourage each one of us, Lord, to use our abilities, Lord, to use even our lack thereof abilities to serve You, that we would understand that with You that You can do great and mighty and wonderful things when we just humble ourselves and allow You to work, allow You to use us, that we are just the vessel. And that we might be filled with Your Spirit this morning and understand that You have a job for us. Father, if there's any here this morning and they feel a calling upon their lives and they just don't know how to use it, they just don't know what to do, may Your Holy Spirit guide and direct them. May they have the courage to come and talk to me about it, Lord. May You give me wisdom to impart on them. But Father, may each one of us understand that we have a responsibility. A responsibility to each other. A responsibility to You, Father. That the gifts that we've been given, we just read, are for the common good. For us to use to serve each other. To serve You most of all, Father. May we show love. May we show compassion to each other. May You lift us up this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, how I love You. I hope you guys will understand how much you're needed. How much you're loved. How much God wants to do with your life. Let's not focus on what we don't have, but focus on all that God has given us and use it for His glory, for His honor. And think about 12 basketfuls left over. 20,000 people ate and 12 basketfuls left over. He says, I don't want anything wasted. You're not a waste. God created you just the way that He wanted you. Sometimes I wonder why I'm bald. Used to really bug me, now I don't care so much. Sometimes I wonder why I have such a hard time remembering certain things. Makes me that more dependent upon my Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes the things that I don't understand are the very things that God wants to use. He says, you're not a waste. Come here. Let me gather you up in my arms a while. I love you. Now go. Get to work. There's a lot of work to do before I come back for each and every one of us. Love you, church. Pray. Ask God to use you this week. Ask God to use your abilities this week. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Prayer at 6 for anybody that would like to come.